Praise God. We're doing a series on the power of God and who God is. And how God's power operates, or how God in his sovereign will has chosen to manifest or to exercise his power. And one thing we have to look at is, who is God? That might be a question that people say, well, God is God, or that's easy to answer. But sometimes we listen to Christians, and sometimes when we come, I mean, even in our worship services, you have to ask the question, who is God? And God is Almighty, but above all, He's a holy God. He's holy. It's not one of his characteristics, it's him. He's a holy God. And that never changes who God is. And God is almighty. There is no power that comes near, even remotely, to the power of God. He's above all. He really is above all. He's a billion trillion miles above any other power. That's the best way of putting it. There's nothing to touch the power of God. And the amazing thing is, this God who created this world, who created us, has said he wants a relationship with us. He wants to be our God. He wants us to be his people. Now, how does God live among us? How does God interact with us? How does God empower us? I'm just going to walk through the scriptures. And anyone that knows me, this is the word of God. And I make no apologies. If I preach out of this. This is the rock that I stand upon. This is the ship that gets me through the storm when it's raging. This is the promise that keeps me when things are tough and life is tough. This is what keeps me. This is the ship I'm in. This is the ship I sail in. This is the ship I make sure I keep in. And it's a sure ship. It will get you into the harbor. It will always bring you through the storm. Now, if you look at the power of God, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 11. As already it says, yours, O God, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 7. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, there was a tremendous army was coming against him, God's people. And he says to his people, when this vast army was coming against him, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And I don't care what power the devil or his forces have. God is with us, God is greater, and God will fight our battles. And sometimes, and this is where we need to be in God's word. Sometimes it's almost like as if the devil is nearly equal with God in power. It's almost like the devil is somehow, not even if he's equal, he's just below God's power. He's not. He's a created being that Jesus Christ has crushed his head. And his army and his forces are defeated forces. That time is short. And God one day will bring them into judgment. And we are to be strong people, courageous people. People that know that we don't depend upon the flesh, but we look to our God, to the strength that comes from our God, to the power that comes from our God. And we look to our God to be with us in the battle. Because when God is with us, the battle is assured it's won. Job, in chapter 9 and verse 4, he says, "His wisdom is profound, his power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed?" And in verse 7, he says, "He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars." In verse 8, "He alone stretches out the heavens." Verse 10, "He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted." It says of Jesus Christ that of all what he done was to be written down, there would not be enough books to write it down in. And so we see that God is a God of almighty power. And that there's nothing to touch the power of God. Nothing to come near the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And whatever the enemy has in his camp is not even a pale shadow. It doesn't even come, if you were to go in, it doesn't even come near. It doesn't even begin. It cannot begin. Because God is above all. He's incredible in his power. He's incredible in his workings. Now, how does God manifest his power? I want to run to in Psalm 66 and verses 1 to 3. "Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you." When Jesus walked on this earth, and every time he came in to contact with the forces of darkness, what happened? I mean, what happened? Every time he encountered the forces of the enemy, what happened? They cringed before him. They were afraid. They were terrified. They pleaded with him. Because they knew who was speaking to them. They knew this. They didn't have to go and do a course. They knew that the Son of God was standing before them. And they cringed. They cringed. And sometimes with the people of God, you hear this talk, the enemy. We've got to be strong. We've got to the enemy. And sometimes we're focused in on the enemy and what he can do. And you ever hear this? Oh, well, you know, God is really away for the backlash. And you hear the young Christians, you're on a honeymoon. Wait until the honeymoon's over, then you're really going to know what it's all about. And in our thinking, without even realizing it, we're exalting the enemy. Now, Joshua, when he went into the promised land and he came up to Jericho, what happened? Jericho was a mighty stronghold of the enemy that God's people had to bring down, and God told them that. What happened? What was happening? Jericho was shut up in fear. They had heard that God was on the move, and Jericho was shut up in fear. And sometimes we shut up the tribe in fear. We're not to be in fear. God is almighty. God is powerful. God is on our side. We're his people. And we got to be courageous people and strong people. And the language we speak has got to be the language of the word of God, which is God is almighty. God is all powerful. God will fight our battles. God will give us the victory. That's the language we're to speak, the language of faith, not the language of fear, the language of doubt, the language of I'm waiting for the enemy to come. And it's a fear. We're living in fear. Now, God, one of the ways that God, in his sovereign will, has chosen to exercise his power, and we want to look at this, and this is what I really want to major on, is through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the agent of God's power, of God's change, of God's workings, right? And the power of God is channeled through the Holy Spirit. And we see this, and I'm going to start looking at this now. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, and it's speaking of Saul, which was the first king of Israel. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, that's with the prophets of the day, and you will be changed into a different person. Now listen to that again. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with, and you will be changed into a different person. Who wants to be changed here into a different person? Who wants to move from where they're at to a different place? And we're changed from one degree of glory to another. And that's what we should be looking for. And sometimes we get, and I've been here, and I'm not preaching to you, I'm a servant of God. And that, and I've say I've come through it, and what I say is to encourage us to look to God. That sometimes we get caught into this way of thinking again, of trying to change ourselves, of trying to come into a sort of a self-effort, a work of the flesh that accomplished nothing. We end up discouraged, we end up worn out. We've got to understand this, that the change, we want to be different people. The change comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who changes our lives as we cooperate with him. And the greatest hindrance to the Holy Spirit a lot of the times is fear, which I was talking about earlier on. The devil comes with his fear. It's a powerless fear. Has no power in it, but it grips us and sticks us. And when the Spirit of God is calling us into deeper waters, we've every excuse not to go there. Oh, I wouldn't be able, you know, I wouldn't be able for that. Who am I? All this language, which is the language that puts out the fire of the Holy Spirit that wants to blaze up in us. And we should be people who look to God to change us, who look to God, say, Father, draw me into deeper waters. Father, that's where I want to go. I want to go deeper into Jesus Christ. And God will do that by his power. And then 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. And it speaks to David. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Now we see David moving, and he went out and he faced Goliath and all that. The power of the Spirit was on him. He was moving in the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's how he could go and face Goliath. Because the Spirit of God was on him in power. And you look at his language. His language was the language of faith. He knew what was going to happen that day. He knew the God that he served. And that was, and he went out in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, if you come to Jesus Christ, I should do a study on this because it's amazing. The Spirit of God worked in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And when you look at it and you do a study of his life, you'll be amazed at how many times, by the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the Spirit. And he says in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, and it's a prophecy and it's about the Lord. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me Because the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In Acts 10 and verse 38, it says, Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now why did Jesus come? You know, we have an intercessory group here in the church. And the one thing we have set our hearts to do in seeking God is that the power of God will be found in this place. That when people come here, they will encounter God. That God will be found in this place in his power. And look what Jesus said. In this place, there should be no despair. He said, I have come the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We should be people where the Spirit of God is just moving in our midst. And despair and mourning and all of that it's dealt with in Jesus Christ. He has come. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And he was on him for a purpose. And his purpose was to come and to redeem us from the forces of darkness and to make us a priesthood of God full of the Holy Spirit. And what we look for in this house, and we are looking for it to a far greater degree than what we're known up to now, is the power of God released. So broken hearts will be healed in this place. When people come in despair, they will go out with a garment of praise. When people come in, they will encounter Jesus Christ. And he is the answer. I'm not the answer. I don't have the power. The Holy Spirit releases the power of God. And we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And another thing which you must understand, it's always called, not always, the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes I do be grieved in my spirit. You see sometimes that people think, you hear some guys out there and clicking clicking their fingers. Spirit of God, move. Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit is sovereign. He's God. And we are never in control of the Holy Spirit in that way. We are servants of the living God. And the Spirit of God moves in us to the glory of Jesus Christ and to bless the people of God. But he's God. He's not some power or entity that we think we can click our fingers and, you know, he jumps to our bidding. Never. Never jumps to our bidding. He does the will of the Father through the Son. He comes and he will prophesy into our midst God's holy word. And he will rebuke us and encourage us and do all that. He's God's. He's God. And he's with us. But remember who he is. He's God's Holy Spirit. Never something that we use in the wrong way or we think we can. So when we look then, and this is very important, because we have to be people of faith, people who understand the word, people who understand what God has said to us, people who have an understanding of how the power of God is released through the Holy Spirit. Now, will God release his power through you as an individual, or will God release his power through us as a church? Does he look for some special group of people? Does he only allow his Holy Spirit, the power of his Holy Spirit, to walk through one or two? Or is God's power available to us all by faith in Jesus Christ? I'm going to look at that. And in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12, He gave them power and authority. He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now we see where Jesus anointed with power. He gave the 12 power and told them to go out. And they moved in the power of God. Now it was only for the 12, but they the select chosen few that God has said he will walk through them and he will manifest his power through them. And then if we go on, you know, to Luke 10 and verse 19, and it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. 72 others. We don't even know half the names. And they returned when he sent them out with authority and power. They returned, and it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us. How? In your name. In your name, Lord. They came back. They were astonished. They were amazed. That, Lord, even the forces of darkness submit to us in your name. And he replied to them, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now listen, this is where we need to get the word of God. And the word of God is activated by faith. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the evil one. Now, the snakes and the scorpions, I haven't got time to go into that, but they are symbolic of the powers of darkness. And he says, and to overcome all, not some, not 80%, 95%, but he says, to overcome all the power of the enemy. In whose name? In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, then we come on then, right? You know, we see the 72 and we see the 12. And then we move on in the scriptures. And we will look then, you know, to see how is that applied to us as the people of God. And we've got to be people of power. We've got to see the power of God manifested in this place. Because otherwise, you all might as well just go home. Because we proclaim Jesus Christ is risen. And we've got to be a people who hunger and thirst after the living God. And believe you me, let me say this to you, that if we're a people of no prayer, you're not a seeker of God. If we're not a seeker of God, forget about it. Because faith is dead. It's only words. We're only play acting. We're only, there's nothing in it. Faith seeks God. And faith seeks God for his power. And faith seeks God for changing lives. And faith seeks God to change your own life. Faith has to be alive. And faith is a seeker after the source of power. Faith is a seeker after the one who can do the impossible. And we've got to be a people who are seekers after God, who hunger after God, who will not be satisfied to be in Egypt, in a desert, where all as we know was grumbling, complaining, never people of faith, never going into the purposes of God and the will of God. And we've got to be a praying people, a people who seek our God. And I'm telling you as an individual, if you're not a person who is seeking after God for your own life is going to be impoverished. I guarantee you that. It'll be impoverished. Because the life is in Jesus Christ. He is the life giver. He is the spirit who gives life. And our life, our spiritual life, is found in Jesus Christ. And we got to go, and Jesus encourages us to ask. Now, Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And then, In Luke 11, verse 13, and Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. And the Father promised the Holy Spirit will be sent when Jesus rose from the dead. And who is his Father? I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. He's our Father. Because Jesus said when he was asked, how do we pray? Say, our Father who art, is your Father. And the promise of God to you is the promise of your Father to you. And he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To those who ask him. Now, it's interesting when Jesus talked about that, and we can't go into it. He talks about the scorpion and a snake, and he talks about evil. And that's an interesting study as to why he used that language. But what he says is that how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then if we move on then into Romans 15 and verse 18, and it's, you know, it's the Apostle Paul. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what was said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit's power, signs and miracles. God is at work. God is releasing his power. And he releases it through his Spirit, and his Spirit is in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God is in us. And God releases his power through his Spirit. The Spirit releases his power through us. And in Ephesians 3 and verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And Paul, and that's prayer, I pray that you'll be strengthened in your inner being through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in us. We have to be people of power, people of strength, the people of courage, the people who know their God, and the people who move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. And sometimes we hear these verses time and time again, and we're almost where we sit there, and we're so dull-minded, and we're just, they just go over our heads. And what do we want to be? Do we want to come in here every Sunday, a year from now, and things are just happening as they're happening? Is that what we want? Is that the God we serve? Or do you want to be a different person? Person who knows the power of God working in you and working out of you. And you can do that. Because it says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more. This is the word of God. Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That should drive us. That should be such a motivator to drive us and say, Father, release your power. Because you promised it, Lord. You promised it, O God. Release your power. When the sick come in here, they're healed. And body, soul, and spirit, when they come in, Father, your power is here to heal. Jesus says, I have come. That's what we look for, the power of God. God's power. Now, in John 6, I have a lot of scripture verses, but sometimes you need to get stuck into the Word of God. In John 6 and verse 63, it says, the Spirit gives life. Life is found in the Spirit of God. The flesh counts for nothing. And that is really true. Our efforts, our self-efforts, unless it's by the Spirit of God, Unless God builds the house, the builders labor in vain. And I don't want to be laboring in vain. I want to know God is at work. God is building this house. And he is. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, my message that I preached and were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And sometimes we're too much in books, too much looking at other people's opinions, too much talking about this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. When it says faith rests on God's power, not on man's wisdom. It's on God's power. Our faith rests on God's power. We got to see God manifest his power in this house. And that's what we're about. That's what we're crying out to God for. We don't want a religion of persuasive words to get up here and give fancy sermons and get back down. We want to see a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And that has been promised to us. It's not something that we have to somehow see. It's been promised. It's the promise of God to us that his Spirit is at work within us. And Jesus has said, I have been sent by the Father. The Spirit of God is on me. And I read it out. I have come. And he's come to give us life. Not death. He's come to give us life. Life on this earth and life eternal. Now, what I want us to do now is listen very carefully, because we need to get the Word of God, and God's Word has to be alive. It's active and alive, and we cause God's Word. We seek that if it's active and alive, we seek God, we see his promises, and we go after them for him. We seek our inheritance. We go after our inheritance in Jesus Christ. And that is a process. That doesn't, we don't click our fingers. We go after God. We go after the Jerichos in our lives. We see them pulled down. We see that which hinders us, that which keeps us bound, that which is like a prison to us. We go after these Jerichos in Jesus Christ. And we see them pulled down in the power of God in our lives. And what, as a tribe, wherever Jerichos is out there, we see them pulled down by the power of God. God fights our battles. God goes ahead of us. And it's so, so sad sometimes. You know, we become a people and our faith levels are like that. They're smoldering wick. We're quite happy to ponder on and nothing of the power of God, and we end up with a religion. And you see that, and you end up with, not with life, but you end up with the flesh, which counts for nothing. Self-effort. Just trying and trying and trying. And it becomes just a weary life, and God, it just becomes words. God is not alive anymore. God is not almighty to us anymore. God is not active in our lives anymore as we would think, but he is. Because even with the people who were in the desert, who were an unbelieving generation, God still protected them. God still never deserted them, never left them. But they were a pitiful people. Pitiful. People of the desert, never known the Jerichos being pulled down, never seen the power of God being released in their inheritance, which was God's promise to them. And because they would not believe God, and, you know, because they didn't go after their inheritance, but let fear be their master, fear be their God, they robbed themselves. They robbed themselves. Now, in the end of this, and I'm going to finish up now on this, and we need to listen to this very, very carefully. Because we need to get this word into us. And we need to see the manifestation of the word of God being poured out of us. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and we know it and we've heard it, and you've probably heard it 100,000 times, but we need to take it and make it ours. We need to inherit this word. We need to go after it in prayer. We need to be seekers after the promises of God. We need to get in and seek God at his word, that we will claim our inheritance in Jesus Christ, which is God's word. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit. To one there is given through the Spirit. The power of God comes through the Spirit. The message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We can have gifts of faith. God can increase our faith. To another, gifts of healing. We can receive gifts of healing by the power of the Holy Spirit. By that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers. We can see the miraculous power of God being released through us. To another, prophecy, to hear God's voice in this house. To another, distinguishing between spirits. We need to know and be able to distinguish what's of the Spirit and what's not of the Spirit. Because he comes an angel of light. He comes camouflaged. He comes to deceive God's people. And we need to be able to discern who is of the Spirit, what are the spirits, who's operating and what's not operating. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. These are the work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Not, we don't have to. This is the Spirit of God working in us that manifests out these gifts. The one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. And it says to us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire. And Paul says even go after the greater gifts, and he puts prophecy up there as one of the gifts, because that's what we're hearing from God. And he speaks then about love, that this has to be covered over in love. The Spirit gives these for the common good. Now let me tell you something. If you're seeking the Spirit of God so you can be glorified or pride's in your life, forget about it. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. But if you have a heart for people, if you have a heart to serve the people of God, and you are stepping out in faith and doing that, these gifts will be manifested, because the Spirit of God gives them for the common good, for the people of God to be blessed. And he wants to give them. It's not that, well, I have a few and I can only give out a little bit of power this week because my power levels is down. We're talking here about the Almighty God, right? And the Spirit of God desires to give these gifts out so that we will bless one another and bless whoever comes in those doors. That is his heart. That is what he wants to do. And what he's looking for is a people of faith, people that are ready to move at his bidding, people that will be seekers after the living God, people that will go after their inheritance in Jesus Christ. People that will be courageous and strong. And when the enemy comes like a roaring lion and he roars, that we don't just crumble up and fall apart. But we have the word of God. My God is with me. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. And God is with us. And God's on our side. And what we're desiring to do in this house is to be seekers first and foremost of God. But to see this word of God, this living word, living and active in our midst, living in our midst and active in our midst. And that is the manifestation. One part of that is the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit of God that will be operating in this house in all the fullness, in healing, in miraculous powers, in prophecy, in tongues, in interpretation of tongues. These are all gifts that have been given to the church for the building up of the body, for the encouragement of the body. And God wants to do that. So we've got to somehow get our thinking, which I was talking about earlier on, this somehow we our thinking is so defeatist. Our thinking is so small-minded. Our thinking doesn't come near the Word of God. I'm not talking about being puffed up. I'm talking about our thinking comes out of this Word. That this Word influences how we think. It motivates us in how we pray. And it promises us that all the promises of God are what? All the promises of God are what? They're yes and amen in Jesus Christ. They're there to be inherited. They're there to go after. So let's not be a people who are lazy, indifferent. God says of some people, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Believe you me, forget about the talk. If I went around and we could talk about God is almighty and God is this and God is that and all that, but when's the last time you prayed? That's what it's about. If we really believe this, what this is saying, then it motivates us how we act. So when you see people saying one thing and they're acting a different way, it means that it just works to them. Doesn't really, they're not really buying into what's been said to them. They don't really believe it, whatever, I don't know. But if we really believe that this Word is living and active and the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ, then let's go after them. Let's be seekers after God. Let's be on our knees. Let's be crying out to God. Let's not be satisfied that this place be a desert, which we do pray. This place is not a desert. But when people come in here, the presence of God is here to be found. Now, that's when we cry out to God. That's when we come and we cry to God, Father, we want your holy presence. We are not satisfied. And what is God, which was already read out in Hebrews? God is what? God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And a great rewarder. And an absolutely brilliant rewarder. And he's God. And when we come in to praise God, I'm looking for the day. And I praise God for the worship team. But I'm looking for the day when the roof of this place will be lifted off. That we will see this God of the Bible. We will see him in his glory. We will see him in his power. We will see his power being manifested. And such will be our spirits moved and touched that we will lift this roof. The praise of God will be extravagant in this place. And it says, make his praise glorious. You want to make God, the praise of God, a glorious thing. Where we're just abandoned in the Spirit of God. And what does God say? I look for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. By the Spirit of God and in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God.